This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of Old TV with a New Twist. I have with me a record-breaking podcast host, Tony Marino. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. I love being here. So excited.
It's so exciting. And what I'm talking about, if you guys follow our Facebook page and look at it, which Tony does not, you would see that my top podcast episode of 2022 was Tony Marino's podcast with me on the show Happy Days.
That's right. Most people would just be humble and be like, it was probably because it was Happy Days, but I'm not very humble, so it's probably because it was me. You know?
Definitely because it was you.
That's
Tony.
Right. That's right.
And what's awesome is that we're back a year later, almost a year later, to do Happy Days again, but we're doing a Christmas episode.
I'm so excited.
And as we're going to talk about it, they're very, very different from the rest of the series, I find.
I did too.
Very different. Okay, good. We're just going to put a pin in that right now, and we're going to get back to it. I'm going to repeat a little bit of the stats. It ran for 11 seasons, which is a long time. I don't know. Did Friends last that long?
A lot of shows don't last that long anymore. No. If you go like 6 seasons right now, you're like...
Yeah, I think that's kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 255 episodes. Follows the lives of the Cunningham family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the 1950s. Season 2, episode 11, Guess Who's Coming to Christmas? Aired December 17th, 1974. I was in 8th grade.
I was 16 years away.
From even being born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twinkle in the eyes, they say.
I was madly in love with a guy named Billy. God, I hope he's not living.
Seriously. We all fall in love with a Billy at some point.
No, it wasn't Billy. I had moved on to Donald.
Oh.
Or was it Mark?
Oh.
It was one of those three.
It sounds like you were in love with a lot of people.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Little boy crazy.
It was innocent back then.
That's okay.
So innocent in 1974.
Oh, yeah. It's not innocent anymore.
I honestly don't know. But I know it was innocent back then. Anyway. Okay, now, Tony, what I've been trying to do lately is try and do a drinking word for this podcast episode.
Drinking word?
Like, whenever we say a certain word, they've got to take a sip of their drink.
Okay.
But you got to think, you've seen the episode.
Mm-hmm.
What word do you think we might say the most? I've got my word down.
Okay.
You know, when Eden and I did it, we agreed on the word.
I feel like we might too. I feel like it kind of stuck out.
Okay, go.
I don't know if I could say it. It's Wana Katonka or whatever. The place that he's going. Wan Tonka? Willy Wonka's house? How far off am I?
Well, it begins with a W.
Yeah, I wrote it down too, and I was like, I'm not gonna remember that.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
This is why I get the most views.
It is. I can't even say it now.
What it's is it?
Waukesha.
That's basically the same thing.
Wonka-tonka.
Wonka-tonka. Oh, I want to see what I wrote it down as, because I literally might have wrote it down as Wonka Tonka. Because I was like, I don't know what this man's saying the whole time. Wonka Tonka. Okay. Dang, I really thought I might not have wrote it down at all, because I was like, I don't even know what, I couldn't even begin to spell that.
Oh my god.
Washa.
So every time you hear Tony stumbling, that's when you need to take a
drink. It's Washa Tonka.
It's Waukesha.
There's a K first.
Waukesha.
No, I'm sticking. I'm gonna stick with Wonka Tonka. Wait, was that your word though?
It was Waukesha.
Yes.
Yes. Except I had it correct.
I just get that felt like Fonzie.
I'm literally
crying. I'm happy to help.
And being as you've heard it so many times, you still couldn't get it correct.
It sounded like every different time he said it, he said a different word.
No, he didn't.
Like every different time, I was like, oh, he just made it up.
Okay.
I'm gonna do that again. I'm gonna do it again.
And we're gonna say that word many times. Yeah, so this should be fun.
Getting it wrong.
Okay, you guys, here we go.
You gotta do like a breathing exercise, just get it back, you know?
Oof. Okay.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we start the episode and we're in the Cunningham's kitchen. And I have something to say about this kitchen.
Yeah.
This is really off topic, Tony. But I was just watching a movie not long ago. Have you ever heard of the movie Mommy Dearest?
I don't think so. Was it like recently?
Have you ever heard like people screaming, no wire hangers?
No.
Okay. There was a big star back in like the 40s named Joan Crawford. You know Joan Crawford?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. Joan Crawford. She was a big star. This is gonna come around to this show.
I'm not I'm thinking about Joan. She was on like E.
E.
Yeah, she passed like within the past few years. Rivers.
Oh no. Joan Crawford.
Not even close. Really.
But she adopted some kids, and she adopted this daughter. Like around 1980, the daughter wrote a tell-all book called "Mommy Dearest," and it was all about how crazy Joan Crawford was behind the scenes. Like if she used wire hangers, she'd beat her with the wire hangers and stuff. And in the movie Mommy Dearest, they use the Happy Days kitchen set.
Oh, really?
It's the exact set.
And you can recognize it immediately.
Oh, immediately. It's the kitchen and the living room.
But when's the movie from?
Like the early 1980s. This show was on at the time.
Okay.
They just went over there and used the Happy Days set.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. But anyway.
Definitely.
That's apropos of nothing. Okay.
Okay, I gotcha.
All right. The family's sitting in the kitchen having breakfast, and it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it is Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve. Boom. We're right in there. Yeah. They don't give us any build up to Christmas. We're in it. And Howard is laying down the law.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard this speech before.
It's just going to be family. No friends. It's going to be a family Christmas Eve where you roast marshmallows and pop popcorn and drink cider and trim the tree. How very Norman Rockwell this sounds.
That is like the most traditional Christmas you can draw up.
I don't know. Does anybody do that anymore? I don't know. Who waits till Christmas Eve to trim their
tree? I literally
anymore?
Wrote that down. But you see that in several like movies and TV, I feel like. And it was maddening to me. Because I look at my tree that is already decorated, and it's been decorated since basically the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, why would you want this for a month? Get a decorative. It's just going to sit there for a month looking like a tree.
So when you said you heard this before, what are you talking about?
Heard what before? Wonka Tonka?
No. No. When you heard Howard saying this.
Oh, I've just heard this speech in the sense of.
Oh, a family saying. Yeah. Okay.
Because I was always like, you know, trying to have as many people over as possible. And, you know, parents are like, no, it's just going to be family.
Right.
It's just going to be nuclear family. And I'm like, can we not have, you know, cousins or friends over?
Nope. No. Yeah. That was a big thing, apparently.
I get it now, you know.
But I thought you were going to say, because if you think way back to our record-breaking podcast, they were all going to go to California for Fonzie to jump the shark.
No.
And they wanted to bring their friend. They wanted to do, no. You know what it was? Howard had planned to take the family vacation to go to his Leopard Lodge convention. Mm-hmm. And the family wanted to go to California, and he wanted to do something different.
And he's like,
and it was the exact same situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding firm. And, you know, spoiler alert, he wound up giving into his family.
Yeah. I just feel like it's pretty dad to be like, you know, we want to do this thing, family thing. And the kids are like, I want to do blah, blah, blah. And
probably just to shut the kids up. My earphones are falling off. They got all loose when I went all crazy laughing. Okay. So let me just ask this, because this is obviously a traditional Christmas Eve for them. It kind of leads you to believe this is what they do every year.
For sure.
It's what the family wants to do. Did you have something you did Christmas Eve every year growing up when you were young?
Christmas Eve was normally Mass. We would get pajamas for the night when we got home from Mass. Mm-hmm. And then we would go do like our cousin's Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we would never see like our my cousin's cousins, our second cousins. We would never see them on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we would all get together on Christmas Eve night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you did the same thing kind of every year. Mm-hmm. Very traditional for sure. In families. Okay.
Yeah. Not decorate the tree that night.
No. Right. No, because that's ridiculous.
Crazy.
So that's it. Basically, that establishing scene is just so you know, Howard is putting his foot down and this Christmas Eve is just going to be family.
Yeah, sure.
I believe him.
Yeah. I didn't, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then next thing, we're in the living room. Howard's coming down the stairs. He says someone has decorated the tree. Someone is trimming the tree because there's a sock on it. I prefer candy canes, but you know,
live
your best life.
Yeah.
But we've got a Chuck Cunningham.
I literally wrote that. I'm like, Chuck is here. I didn't remember him at all. I remember we had talked about him on the other one, but like it wasn't like when I saw him, I was like, oh, I remember this guy. Nope. Didn't ring a bell.
It says here the character of Chuck Cunningham appeared in the pilot episode and 11 subsequent episodes over the first two seasons. Then he went off to college.
Okay.
But then during the second, at the end of the first season, he went off to college. During the second season, he made two appearances, two episodes. The Christmas episode, this one, is the last time anyone ever saw him, and he's never mentioned again.
He's gone.
As a matter of fact, in the finale of the show, Howard toasts to and talks about his two children. Like,
gone.
Chuck literally is erased.
Yeah, never to be heard from again. Yeah.
But Chuck kind of seems like a Fruit Loop dingus.
Oh, the lights are on, but nobody's at home at all. Yeah, I wrote numbskull.
Perfect.
Nothing going on.
He didn't have a cohesive thought.
No. I like when he gets the gift and he doesn't know what it is. That's pretty impressive. I don't know if that's like a question, so I don't want to ruin anything, but it's obviously a ball. It bounces and everything. And he's like, I don't know what it could be. Like a frying pan, maybe?
He serves no purpose at all.
I guess he's like comic relief.
Was he?
I guess like the dumb trope, you know? Like
he did that well.
He nailed it, you know?
Anyway, Howard says a few words to Chuck. He's inconsequential. But he asks Richie to come help him with the Santa.
Yes.
And Richie said, Santa's here. I thought you said no outsiders. Richie's cracking wise.
I like Richie's jokes. They're so like, you know, waiting on the ba-dum-tsh. He's like looking around for like nobody's laughing.
Nobody's laughing. Yeah. But this Santa.
It was creepy.
Did you ever have the thought that there was a human in that suit?
At the end. It was I'm sorry. It was at the end, but at the end, it actually looked like a person. In the beginning, when they're trying to fix it, it gets going pretty quick, and the arm gets a little loose, and I'm like, that looks like a person's arm. That doesn't look like a robot arm anymore.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't like it. It was creepy.
It was kind of, they had things like that back then, these animatronics, whatever they are. The Santa has got a gift that he's supposed to be like waving around.
It doesn't look like he's waving it. I was trying to figure out what he's doing. It looks like he's like either taking it out of his sack or putting it back in. I didn't know what he was doing.
I don't know what the Santa was supposed to be doing, but it was beating the crap out of everybody with the arm going crazy. That was kind of a funny scene, but couldn't really be fixed.
Physical humor, you know?
Yeah, it was all right. But the Santa will serve a purpose later.
It did. It sure did.
Rat Arnold's. The diner, and Richie's meeting with his friends. Tell me what's going on here.
Well, they're trying to trick the waitress in, you know, with the mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, I think was her name.
Yep.
She walks up and they're telling Richie, like, oh, you know, try this on Wendy. It'll work. And then Wendy walks up and they do the mistletoe thing. And she apparently loves salads. And she immediately realizes that it's parsley. She's not down for the joke.
Here is a Christmas trope that they use in a lot of the older movies that I can't stand. I think it's outdated and should be retired. Mistletoe. Your generation,
mm-hmm.
when you all get together for Christmas, do y'all hang mistletoe?
Never seen mistletoe
no,
before.
Never
in my
so-
life.
Thank
no.
you. It's like fruitcake. In a lot of these old shows, people talk about fruitcake.
I feel like fruitcake's still a running gag. It's like the office gift that nobody wants, or like the white elephant game that nobody wants.
Yeah. But is it just a joke?
And I think they still sell it at the store, so somebody's buying it. I see it out there.
But the mistletoe, because it's on like the drinking game for the Hallmark movies and all, because it's always in these movies. And it's so cliche, and it's so predictable, and it's just...
I love a good Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, I'm getting aggravated.
My Netflix is littered with them. You know, my mother-in-law, she's on my Netflix account, so she watches all the Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, because the three friends are Potsy and Ralph and Richie, and then Fonzie comes in. Is Ralph Mouth still your favorite? He was your favorite when they were in California.
Yeah, without a doubt. He wasn't as funny this time, though.
Well, they didn't have a big role.
No. I mean, they're in it for, maybe all of 2 minutes.
This is their only scene, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
That's it. But he wasn't as funny.
Yeah. So Fonzie comes in. He's tossing out gifts to all the waitresses.
Yeah.
You're the ginchiest.
I didn't get that.
What is it?
I was like, is that supposed to be like Grinch? Or I didn't get it at all. Went way over my head.
Tony, you're so ginchy.
Yeah. I'm ginchy, I guess.
You're ginchy, I guess.
Yeah.
To prove he's got a heart under all that leather, he was handing out gifts.
Yeah.
Fonzie's just cool. I'm sorry. He's just so cool.
He is, but I was actually, I looked it up after I watched this. He apparently did an interview about this episode, and he had said that this was like the beginning of kind of him not being as cool, but not being as prickly, I guess, because he is kind of like a lot more prickly in this episode than he is in the one we watched for Jumping the Shark. So he kind of made it seem like this was the beginning of a change for Fonzie.
You know what? When Mr. Ted and I just watched it, we talked about that. And when we get to that point, I'm going to tell you. Because obviously, I was around with my crush on Billy or Donald or
Mark
at the time. So when his character did go through a little bit of a change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when he became more part of the show, too. Because he was an outside character at first.
Yeah.
And then Fonzie took off.
He said that in the interview too, actually, that this was the like episode
right
where
around
started.
That time. Mm-hmm. Because he became integrated kind of with the Cunningham family a little more.
Right. That makes sense.
So Potsy invites Fonzie to go to his house for Christmas Eve.
Yes. He's like, no, I'm going to Wonka Tonka with my cousins, and we're going to be cooking all this food and drinking, and maybe he doesn't say drinking, but he's like, you know, cutting up and decorating.
Yeah, big tree, big celebration, yeah. Great spread of food. You know, he's laying it on. He's leaving on the 4 o'clock bus to Waukesha.
This was like red flag city for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had never seen this episode before.
Never seen it.
Okay.
And I'm like, I was like, there's no Wonka Tonka.
I had seen it already, so I knew what was going to happen, but I'm thinking, is Waukesha a real place? So I Google map it. Waukesha is a real place. It's a suburb 18 miles west of Milwaukee, which is where they live.
Okay.
A 23-minute ride by car.
Yeah.
It is not unlike Chalmette to New Orleans.
Right.
Like a suburb. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Is Wonka Tonka a real place?
I haven't looked it
up.
You'll
have to look that up.
Wonka Tonka. I'll look that up. We'll look that up before the end of the show, folks. I know you're all dying to know if Tony is onto something.
Maybe I just had my wires crossed.
Yeah. The next scene is at Cunningham Hardware, and I want to know why.
That was another thing. I'm like, who has a Christmas Eve party? Like, be closed or, you know,
yeah,
close
let him go home.
Yeah. I don't think I knew that was like what he did, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Just to let us know what Howard did all day.
No, they achieved that.
Cunningham Hardware.
Yeah.
And they were all getting drunk on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's getting ready to get really good right now. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. So I'd just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it, on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV or Crackle TV, I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there, let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. Okay, and we're back. But before we get back...
We found Waka Tonka.
Tony found it. Tell him what it is, Tony.
Yeah, it's in Germany. It's a woman's clothing store. And that's where I thought Fonzie was going. That made sense to me in my head.
A short bus ride from Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know,
over to Germany.
To Germany, yeah.
Okay, so there you
it's
have
the,
it.
It's the L train.
We all learned something today.
You're welcome. I might have just got him some business. No free... See if they'll, you know, no free ads.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sponsor alert.
I'm trying to see if Germany was one of the countries, because I got the top five countries that my podcast is listened to in.
That would be awesome.
And I don't think Germany's one of them, but if it is, we might get a little
you can get a
little kickback.
We're gonna be doing Waka Tonka ads soon. That's crazy that you have top five countries.
Top one is United States, then Canada, Australia, the Netherlands, and United Kingdom.
Boo the Netherlands too.
There went all our advertising dollars we were gonna get, Tony, and I would have split them with you.
If that person is listening in the Netherlands, I'm sorry, but you know, it's just from the World Cup. They just beat USA. So.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
Well, there you go. Well, you learned two things
today.
Learned
two things.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are going to leave Cunningham Hardware. This is where the story takes off. Tony, tell us what happens here.
Well, his car breaks down?
Yeah, well, it's smoking. It has a leak in the water hose.
Yeah, so like, well, let's go bring it over to Fonzie's. They go bring it over to Fonzie's shop, and he's fixing it, and he's talking about Waka Tonka again, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, I got to get going. I missed the 4 o'clock. Now I got to get on the 6 o'clock or something like
five.
That. Five. Yeah, he's like, but I can't miss that one.
Because a bus leaves every hour for this place.
I forgot about that.
Every hour on Christmas Eve.
That can't still be a thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a thing then.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So yeah, he's going to Waka Tonka after that. And
something really unrealistic happens here.
Does it?
When he missed the 4 o'clock bus, he said, well, I'll have to take the 5 o'clock bus. And Howard says, well, you know, we'll take you to go get some coffee and donuts to wait for your bus.
Right.
And Fonzie's like, no. Who the hell passes up donuts?
That's a good point. Well, maybe they're not going to get donuts. Maybe he wanted Kringles.
Ah. See, Howard didn't offer him Kringles.
Yeah, they're big Kringle people.
Okay.
Especially during the holidays.
Okay, but once again.
Donuts are a totally different topic. We won't finish this podcast if I keep talking about donuts.
I know. Let's not go there. Whew. Okay. So he said, no, I'm going to go to Waukesha. They got a big spread of food waiting for me. I don't want to ruin my appetite with donuts.
That's right.
Going to Waukesha. They offered to drive him to Waukesha. Take a drink.
There you go.
Richie says, we can drive him. It's only 25 miles, which proves there was not Google Maps because it is 18 miles. He would have known that if there was Google Maps in 1950.
That's a good point.
Whatever. Anyway, so finally, sometimes he's like, let's not make a federal case out of it.
He gets very snippy. That stuck out to me. Let's not make a federal case about it, which felt like such a, you know, Happy Days joke, but he's so snippy.
Yeah, but at this point, what were you thinking? Did you think what was going to happen was what happened, or no? You weren't, that wasn't on your radar.
Genuinely, I thought what was going to happen was going to happen when they were at, what's the place called where they go eat?
Oh, at Arnold's.
Yes. Yeah. When he's like laying it on so thick about.
Oh, you didn't believe it then?
I'm like, this isn't a place. I literally knew how the episode ended. I was like,
are you serious?
I swear. I was like, this is so.
Oh.
You're right. It was on the wall for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what happens? They say, okay, we're leaving.
Yeah. They're heading out. Car's working again, I guess. And Richie was like, which also was kind of weird to me. Richie's like, oh, I forgot. I got Fonzie a gift. I want to go give him this gift. And that to me, I was also like, did he kind of have a feeling too? And he wanted to see, but I don't think that was the whole thing.
No.
So he goes back in to go give Fonzie his gift, and he's warming up some beans, I guess, or something.
He said ravioli.
Oh, he did say ravioli.
But we couldn't tell. You couldn't tell. It was just a can. I thought it was soup.
I know, but I was just like, the contraption he had to warm it up, I guess. That was new to me too. Yeah. So he's warming up some raviolis to eat at the body shop where
alone.
Yeah, alone
on Christmas Eve
because there's no Wonka Tonka.
No.
No, no cousins.
Well, there is a place, but he ain't going there.
He's not going.
He's
to
got
it.
No family.
That's
there.
Right. I know. Very sad.
Yeah. So at this point, did it kind of pull on your heartstrings when you saw him sitting there alone in that garage?
For sure. It really pulled on my heartstrings a lot more later.
Later. Okay. Yeah. We'll get there.
But
okay.
I wasn't like, yeah.
So Richie heads back to the car, totally intending to tell Howard. But
they know
Howard, yeah. But Howard's on it. Oh, it's going to be a great family Christmas Eve. He's going on and on. So Richie doesn't tell him.
See, I was wondering if he even kind of like had a feel too, but he seemed like he picked up a lot quicker than almost anybody, even though later he says that Richie, you know, figures it out first. But I kind of felt like he had a vibe, but he's like, I want it to be my family and that's it.
He's really stuck on that.
Yeah.
Really stuck on that.
Yeah.
So they go home.
They do. I know they're trimming the tree, I guess. Mm.
And Howard's going wild with that tinsel. Man, there was a lot of tinsel on that tree.
Do y'all call it trimming?
Back then. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's singing Jingle Bells, which must be royalty free.
It was. That actually made me laugh a little bit. I was like, I could never. It was very cringe to me. I'm like, I've never been like just, you know, a grown man singing.
My dad never sang Jingle Bells.
That just felt very uncomfortable to me. Maybe that was a thing they did then, too.
So where we at? Okay. The lights don't work.
No. One goes out, they all go out.
Yeah. So Howard's like, Chuck, check the lights. Chuck's going to check the lights and then he's going to leave forever.
That's all he's
good. Say goodbye to Chuck.
I was going to say that's all he's good for, but he's not even good for that.
He don't work. But anyway, Richie's all sad.
He can't get over it. Yeah. He's
so
just down in the dumps.
What happens? Howard goes and asks him.
He's like, what's going on, man? He's like, oh, you know, I'm just still thinking about Fonz. He's just, you know, by himself on Christmas Eve. He's like, come on, let's go get him.
Yeah. He said, I don't think he's going to Waukesha.
Yeah.
I don't think there is. He said it again. I should have counted how many times they said Waukesha. It was a lot.
It definitely stuck. And I still couldn't get it down.
And you still don't know what it is. But Dad, no, when he first says it, Dad still, this is family time, damn it. He's holding on to it.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think he knew the whole time. I think Mr. Howard knew.
He was resisting bad, though.
But I think that's why. I think he was like, he knew he was never going anywhere. And he's like, but I want this to be. He knew it was going to happen.
Right.
But he didn't want to do it.
Mm. The way he says it, he says, because the whole family gets in on it. Chuck has to get a few more words in before he's gone. He goes, oh, Dad, I think you should come. And the little girl, Joni, says, I think, you know, and the mom says, I think you should go. And he goes, no, it's family time. We're going to trim the tree and drink eggnog and sing Christmas carols and deck the halls. And we're going to go get Fonzie.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how it happened in the other show.
100%. I remember that. Yeah. He's like, no, we're going to the Lippo Lodge and we're going to do the family vacation in California. Yeah.
It was the exact same thing. Because I said, Tony, does this sound familiar to you?
Yeah, that does. I do remember this now.
All right. Take us through what happens next.
So next they go to Fonzie's apartment. I couldn't really hear, but apparently they walk up and they can hear music in his apartment. So they're like, oh, he's in there. Knock on the door. Fonz, I know you're in there. Come open it up. And he takes a second, but he eventually comes out and he's got luggage. Like, oh, I got to run. I'm on my way to the bus stop to go catch my bus. And what did they need? We need to go in for a second for something.
Oh, they said, we need to talk to you. Can we come in for a second? So,
yeah.
So they go in and Howard goes to pick up the suitcase.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch. I actually like that. Yeah. Hey, Howard goes to pick it up finds it somewhere. I travel very lightly.
Yeah, it was empty.
Yeah, there's nothing in there. He just grabbed a suitcase. What an old school suitcase.
Too. Oh, wow. I know. Yeah. I remember those.
Yeah, you never see those.
Now, you know, in later seasons, I'm not sure what season it happens, but Fonzie moves in at the Cunninghams. He moves in over their garage.
Yeah, he gets the Kirk Cameron suite.
What? Oh, that's right, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about when he goes and lives in that over their garage, it is the exact same set for this apartment.
But it's not the same, like, setup, is it?
Exact same. You walk
really?
In the door, the little offset kitchen, exactly. Yeah.
his apartment was crazy organized and decorated for like a bachelor. I was like, he's not living like that.
With a motorcycle in the middle.
Oh, the motorcycle. I did write that down. I was like, what are we doing here? This was so campy. I'm like, there's a motorcycle in his.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was, you know, Happy Days comedy.
Yeah, staple. And he had a Charlie Brown tree on the table.
I wrote that down too. It was such, and like the Peanuts are, I literally watched it a week ago by myself as a grown man. I love the Peanuts. It's one of my favorites. And I just, that really, this is when it started to pull up my heartstrings.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at him. He's got his old tree and he wants to have this Christmas and this family and he just doesn't, you know, but he's embracing it.
Is he too embarrassed to tell people that he has nowhere to go, you think?
I think he just wants it so bad. I don't know if he's necessarily embarrassed of his situation. He just wants to have a family to go to. It's so sad. I had a feeling what was going to happen. It's still, it hurt.
But look, he's leaving because he's going to catch that 8 o'clock bus to Waukesha.
Yeah. Well, the 9 o'clock's the last one of the day, too.
But so how did they get him to go to the house?
So he's like, oh, you know, the sand is not working.
Yeah.
Richie says this, which that was good on his feet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I love that when there's a callback to like a point of the episode that you're not really paying attention to. You think is a small part.
Right.
And you're like, this is a giant linchpin of the entire episode.
That's what I said. That's why the whole Santa scene was in there before.
That's like, what is it? Chekhov's gun?
Yes. Yeah. Chekhov's gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So he tells him, look, I'm a go.
But
I'm going to catch that 9 o'clock bus to Waukesha because that's the last one.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
And he does go and he fixes the Santa and they're coming in. And I felt like this kind of came back later in the episode too. But when him and Richie come in, it does seem like it's snowing more.
Ooh, did you see that snow out there?
Yeah. Like it didn't seem like it was snowing that bad. But when they're at the front door, I'm like, ooh, they're, you know, it's coming down a little bit.
Those prop men up on those ladders were going crazy.
Yeah. Shaking their little arms off.
Going crazy with those snowflakes up there.
100%.
So he fixed the Santa.
He fixes the Santa and he comes back inside and the lights still aren't working. Chuck is doing his darndest. And I don't even blame Chuck, you know. He is trying his hardest. He's just
useless.
Yeah, you know.
We don't have to wonder why they cut him loose.
He's trying his best, but there's just... beyond his capabilities.
Yes. Well, they change scenes and it's Fonzie has the tree fixed and he turns the lights on. And he says what I think is the funniest line in the whole episode. He fixed the lights and they said, oh, Fonzie, thank you so much. What would we do without you? And he said, how did you people get through Thanksgiving?
No, I didn't remember that. I did remember a few things from like his part there. Like, I remember him kind of calling out the Cunninghams Christmas in the living room. And I was like, oh, it's like they invited you in and you were talking about how much, you know.
Oh, they got a bigger tree than you in Waukesha.
Yeah, it's double the size of this. The living room's bigger. It has more presents. I'm like, all right, dude. I was like, I get your hurt, you know, but they invited you in. Relax.
It's a bit much, I thought. 100%. Yeah. So I thought that was funny. And they said, what would we do without you? And Richie said, you know, our car would be stuck in the snow. Our tree would be dark. Our Santa would be mugging the neighbors. Fonzie has saved them.
Yes.
But oops, it's after 9 o'clock. And that was the last bus to Waukesha. And hopefully the last time we have to say it.
I still haven't said it.
You can't.
No, I can't.
You don't know how.
I'm like Chuck.
Joni says one more time, well, why don't you just stay tonight and go to Waukesha tomorrow? That's the last time we're going to say it, I promise.
Okay.
But Howard says, no, he wants to go. I'll drive him. This is where I got mad at Howard.
Well, he's like forcing the issue. He's like, no, now you're going to tell me that there's no Waukesha.
Right.
You know? He's like, we're going to go. I'm going to drive you there and you're going to have to. And that's when he says, look at it. It's coming down now. I can't actually drive me. And like I said, when they opened that front door after fixing Santa, it did seem like it was coming down more.
Yeah, some storm moved in quickly.
Yeah.
That happens over Minnesota. Where were they?
Wisconsin. Yeah.
I guess so. They get a lot of snow. But now here's where the mom in the family steps up and says, you're staying here.
That's enough. Enough's enough.
I don't want to hear another word about it. And she shut Fonzie down. She shut Howard down. She shut them all down.
Yeah. And that's when he says,
go moms.
Yeah. Mom, yeah. Miss Cunningham saved the day.
Yeah. And he said, hey, Mrs. C.
Yeah.
My mother used to talk to me like that. The only one to get away with it until you.
Until you.
Oh, come on.
This is when it started. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that stuff. 100%.
So what happens here? Tell us.
Jenny stays, right?
Yeah, but it's a very lovely scene, and he becomes almost childlike, because Howard Cunningham is popping popcorn over an open fire. Oh,
yes, and he's like, let me show you how to do it.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, this was another one. I'm like, You told him that living room was small. You told him in their present, and now you're telling him his popcorn's like is making a technique is wrong.
Yeah, and Richie's marshmallow roasting technique was wrong too. I don't know if you noticed that.
I don't know if I noticed that, but it just everything's maybe it's like when you become older and you're like you see the dad side of it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh geez,
this little punk.
Yeah, 100%. But I did enjoy the fact that Mr. Howard could have just been like a complete jerk to him the entire time. It's like, show me, man. You know.
You know. He completely changed when his wife put her foot down. Us ladies, look, man, we step in. That's it. It's over. It's
happy
over.
Wife, happy life.
Nah, you got it. Marion knows that. Howard knows that. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
That man out there.
He does.
Talking about my husband out there, y'all. He knows that. But anyway, one thing Fonzie does say when he's showing Mr. C how to do the popcorn, he says, hey, thanks, Mr. C. I know you're hip to Waukesha.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's the confirmation. He confessed. And Howard said, actually, it was Richie who figured it out.
I'm still not like 100% sold, but maybe.
So Fonzie thanks Richie for having all his freckles in the right places.
Yeah, I do remember this now.
It's a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Take what you can get.
So then the part that my husband thought was the funniest was Fonzie reading The Night Before Christmas.
Oh, there's another thing. Yeah, Mr. Howard's like, oh, I want to read The Night Before Christmas. And he's like, oh, come on, man. Let me do it. And I'm like, this guy can't. All he wanted was a family Christmas, and he gets nothing.
They're not going to invite you back, Fonzie. You got to let Mr. Howard do something.
Something.
Because you could tell he always read that to his family.
That's another kind of trope that, you know, like decorating the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. Never read that once.
Me either.
Yeah. And if so, we didn't do it The Night Before Christmas.
No. But he's reading it and he's like, oh, yeah, The Night Before Christmas. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? And he's all showing the pictures like he's doing story time at the library.
Yeah.
He was just like a kid. He was so excited. And if you looked at Howard's face, Howard never looked perturbed.
Yeah, he was kind of like happy for Fonzie for being happy.
Yeah.
But that was also, like I was saying, that you could just tell this is what Fonzie wanted. He just wanted the traditional. He wanted what Mr. Howard wanted.
Yeah,
you know,
he
wanted to just be with his family on Christmas, and he doesn't have one, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for the night. And the next morning, tell me what everybody got for Christmas, or what we know. What did we see as far as Christmas gifts?
Chuck gets his basketball, of course.
Right.
I don't know if I remember what Richie and Joni get, but I do remember what Mrs. C got. She got that fur jacket that she was just showing off. She's like, look at this thing I got.
Before Peter.
Yeah.
Before they came along.
I was also like, these people are so dressed for Christmas morning.
I was she like, comes out the kitchen with a mink on.
Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Joni got a ViewMaster. She was sitting there with the little.
Do you remember
you used to put the round thing in with the pictures and click it?
I'm thinking of Kaleidoscope. That's different, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yes, I do remember this.
So they all get called into the kitchen for Christmas dinner.
That looked like the typical. You know that picture where they're like serving the turkey? It's like the whole family at the table. That's legit what it looked like.
Norman Rockwell.
Is that what it?
That's Norman Rockwell.
Is that the picture I'm talking about?
I think that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
It's just that all American 50s
definition.
Sitting exactly right there. Now, Howard usually says grace.
But of course, Fonzie gets to do everything.
Can I do
Howard,
it? Can I do it?
Yeah. I actually like this part though.
Come on. You remember what he said?
Yeah. He just looks up and he's like, thanks.
That's hey, it. God. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I literally wanted to cry.
I mean, I was going to cry, but I am such a sucker for Christmas stuff like this. And I was like, ugh, it got me.
He spent a beautiful Christmas in the bosom of a family.
That's a adjective right there to describe it.
He was in the warm bosom of this family.
And he was soaking it up.
He was nuzzled in it.
Yeah, he was.
This just took a turn.
Yeah.
He had a great Christmas.
That's all he wanted for Christmas was to be in a bosom.
And he got it.
He got it.
No, but when you think about what his Christmas would have been like had Richie not seen it and told his dad, and they had gone back and insisted again and insisted again. It took some work to get him there.
It would have been like,
because he was very proud.
It would have been like any other day for him, you know, but it's like one of those days where, you know, everybody loves the holidays, but there's also times where you're like, where it makes you think about, you know, those that aren't with us and stuff like that. So a lot of the times that stuff's hard for you for the holidays.
Yeah.
So So for that, you know, it's hard for them.
And that's how the episode ends, with Fonzie just thanking God. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
At the end of this episode, you know what I thought about, Tony? Because every year at Christmas time, I like to do one or two Christmas podcasts. A show that we did in that year sometime. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was my highest rated episode of the year. I don't know. That's but right. Let's revisit it and do their Christmas episode. And I find across the board, I did three last year and I did two this year. The Christmas episodes have a total different feel from the rest of the show. Now, you and I, when we watched Happy Days, we obviously watched Jump the Shark, which is arguably one of the silliest episodes, not only in Happy Days history, but in television history.
It's just nonsense.
It was total silly. We loved it. I enjoyed the episode. Yeah. But this has such a different, it's like, is it the same show? It just leaves you feeling different.
I feel like most, kind of like you're saying, Christmas episodes are just different in general than any other series. And it's just because they're full of heart.
That's it.
That's Christmas.
If they were trying to give us a message or anything, is there a takeaway here?
I guess probably be appreciative for what you have, because not everybody has that. Like the kids, when you're that age, mm-hmm. Richie and Joni's age, you're probably just like, ah, it's Christmas. I'm going to get a new whatever they got. Like, mm-hmm. It's a, what was it called? Viewmaster.
With a lot of palm trees. We're
really
look at.
Like, you know, Mr. Howard just wants family time and other people just want family time too. That's, you know, my favorite thing about Christmas.
Would you think somebody would be spending it alone in a dreary garage? No. And so maybe it's reach out to others. Yeah. Because you wouldn't think Fonzie, who was so popular, would be alone.
Right.
But you never know.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on in people's lives. And this time of year, especially, reach out.
I like that.
Did you have an LOL or favorite moment in this episode?
Maybe the mistletoe. I actually did think the mistletoe thing. Maybe chuckle a little bit.
When it was parsley?
When it was parsley. they're like, she's a big salad fan.
Who was your favorite character?
Fonzie.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a cop-out, but it's a totally different version of Fonzie, I feel like, than I don't have the other episodes on offhand. I haven't watched them in a long time, but I feel like it's mostly just him being cool and not caring about anything, and you could see what he cares about here.
Yeah, his heart was all over the place. It was, you could see it. I mean, because last time we saw him, he had skis strapped to him and he was jumping over a shark.
You know, he's only worried about the ladies and stuff like that, but he humanizes him.
Definitely. My favorite character was Chuck. I'm giving him that as a parting gift.
Never be seen again, Chuck.
There's your parting gift, Chuck. See you never. Watchability meter. You see, I got 100% because I just love the feel of this show. I love the 50s and the old, you know.
It's, I'm a sucker for Christmas. Yeah. I am like Mr. Christmas. I would 1000% watch it again. I don't know that it was good, but I don't know that a lot of Christmas stuff is good. Like Christmas movies and TV shows, but I will still watch them just because I enjoy the heck out of them.
Yeah. Wait. Hold on.
Hold that thought.
Did you think it was funny?
Would
you give it on a humor meter?
I didn't really think so. No. But it
wasn't meant to be, probably.
No, I don't think so.
No. I'm looking to see what you gave your previous shows on our humor meter to see. I think you score low. I think you're a low scorer.
I feel like I gave Seinfeld a decent one.
No. Saved by the Bell, you gave a 6. Seinfeld, you gave an 8.2. Ooh, Happy Days, you gave a 3.2. Well, it was the shark. I mean,
I love that you have that. That's awesome.
Everybody asks, what did I give my last show? I'm like, all right, I'm putting together a spreadsheet and I'm going to keep it because y'all always ask
me. That tracks for me. Like when I think back to those. And Saved by the Bell is tough to say because I don't remember which one we watched, but I enjoy some Saved by the Bell a lot more than others. So 6 was probably like average. Mm-hmm. And I've actually kind of binged a little bit of Seinfeld and that holds up. It's still pretty funny to me.
So that's the highest score you gave anything, 8.2.
Yeah.
And 3.2 was pretty bad. And to touch on a little bit of trivia, what you talked about is this was a turning point in Fonzie's character. Right when that character was picking up popularity, because it was Richie and Mouth and Potsy. And then Fonzie was this guy, but then he's kind of brought in as part of the group. He becomes part of the family. He's going to move in over their garage, you know, and this is where that starts to happen. Mm-hmm. This is a huge shift in the show. And this exactly what you said is right when it's happening.
Yeah. And I think if they wouldn't have changed him and like kind of showed this side of him, mm-hmm. he probably wouldn't have been as much of a mainstay because I don't want to say he's a jerk, but he kind of like gives off jerk vibes.
Yeah.
Like as, you know, cool and funny as he might be sometimes, I'm just like, all right, I don't really laugh at you because I just feel like you're mean to these people. You know?
But all that's going to change.
Yeah, it turns.
They're going to make him so much more likable.
And I think they did.
So, this will be the last time we talk this year, Tony. First of all, if you've played our drinking game, don't drive, because we've said Waukesha or Wonka Tonka at least 200 times. And hey, if you need a new coat or garment, please go to Wonka Tonka in Germany, our new sponsors.
I hope you get some German listeners now. That'd be great.
Boy, that would be awesome, yeah. Wouldn't it? And one last announcement before we go. The next time Tony is here to podcast with me, he will be a dad.
I will.
When are we due, Tony?
Currently the 9th of January. So
9th of January.
We're like a month out right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our Tony, our podcaster, is going to be a daddy.
Yeah.
And his beautiful wife, Emily.
Yeah. She won't be a dad, though.
No, she's going to be a mom.
Yeah.
Parents. They're going to be parents.
We are. We said that to each other. I was like, you're going to be a mom. She's like, you're going to be a dad. I was like, oh. Scary.
So you guys, it might be a long time because look, that first year we might not get you here.
If so, I might be just a lot more grumpy or tired and just be like, whatever you say, Mr. Show. I don't know. I barely watch the episode, okay? they say in the first few weeks it's like a lot of good TV watching time, stuff like that.
Really?
Well, that's what I've been told. I mean, maybe they're lying to me, but it's
Who's
just like
telling you?
Well, they said it sleeps a lot.
It does.
So they're like, you know, you can watch a lot of
TV. Yeah, but when the baby's sleeping, you're going to sleep. Well, Tony, thank you so much for squeezing this in at the end of the year, right before Christmas, so we can get our last Christmas episode in.
Love it.
It was a blast.
Yeah, it was. I had fun, as always.
So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll see you all next year.
Sounds good.
Bye. This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.